I'm Marty Moscoe-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. The 142-mile-long New Jersey shoreline is a boon to the Garden State with its beaches and family-friendly towns, bringing in millions, if not billions, of dollars of revenue. Earlier this year, the Trump administration opened most of the country's coastal waters to offshore drilling, and New Jersey fought back. It passed a tough law banning oil exploration and the infrastructure that comes with it in the 3 miles off the shore that is under state control. House Republicans are considering fining states that refuse to allow offshore drilling. A bit later in the show, I'll talk with Thomas Pyle. He's the president of the Institute for Energy Research and the American Energy Alliance for a perspective from the oil industry. Joining us now is John Moore. He is the mayor of Asbury Park in New Jersey, one of the more outspoken mayors opposing offshore drilling. Mayor Moore, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
Good morning to you as well, and we have another guest. We're just hooking up with her, and we'll get her in as soon as we can. Mayor Moore, why do you and why do the other mayors in New Jersey oppose offshore drilling?
Because of what could happen. When we're dealing with storms, that's Mother Nature, and that's something we cannot control. But for man to build something that could potentially kill the entire eastern shoreline from Maine to Florida would be ridiculous. And it's just like it's not worth the risk and it's not worth the money that can be made off of it. There's got to be other options.
How many other mayors agree with you on that?
I would say New Jersey, every mayor. As far as our congressional delegation, and New Jersey is pretty split, but and they usually never vote unanimously, but the vote was total, you know, the entire delegation supports this, be it the senators, congressmen, all Republicans, Democrats, everybody is totally against this.
Let me get our second guest in on the conversation. Cindy Zipf is the executive director of Clean Ocean Action. I should read their mission statement. It says, our goal is to improve the degraded water quality of the marine waters off the New Jersey, New York coast. Cindy Zipf, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Great to be here, Marty. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And we want to know what you think about the possibility of oil drilling off the coast of New Jersey. Cindy, let me get your perspective on this. We heard from Mayor Moore. He said it's just not worth the risk. How do you see it?
Oh, I absolutely agree with the mayor, as do most New Jerseyans and people along the coast of the entire U.S. waters. I mean, the public opinion is that, you know, we don't want to threaten the livelihoods, the jobs, the incredible resources that we have that so many enjoy. And, you know, to put it at risk for an industry that is basically dirty from start to finish and will do nothing but contribute to climate change in addition to all the other harms is just, you know, unthinkable.
Now, this law protects those 3 miles that's essentially under the control of New Jersey, but of course there are, 170 miles that extend into federal waters. How, Cindy, does this law impact that?
Sure. Well, there's a federal law called the Coastal Zone Management Act, which gives a state the right to review any kind of federal activity that could threaten its resources or threaten its waterways. So the law specifically mentioned that any activity in the Atlantic Ocean where it could affect the waters of New Jersey will be under the scrutiny of the state of New Jersey to ensure that it will not harm New Jersey. So the powerful arm of New Jersey can go beyond the actual limit of the 3 miles to evaluate whether or not it could harm New Jersey. And if the state decides that it does, then the state can fight back and push back against any of these proposals. And I will say that we must be doing something right if big oil is getting a group of Republicans to come after our state for simply seeking our own state right to protect our waterways and our way of life here.
And that's to underscore House Republicans considering fining states that refuse to allow offshore drilling. Mayor Moore, let me go back to you. What does summer tourism mean to Asbury Park?
Oh, it means everything in the world. As much as Asbury Park is becoming a 12-month destination instead of just a summer destination, it's just like it would, if we had to shut down for 2 to 3 years during a cleanup, it would put the entire state out of it. It would put us in bankruptcy. There's no question about it.
Well, I remember going to the shore with my family in the 1980s, the New Jersey Shore, when there was the hospital trash, the garbage, frankly, the sewage that landed up on the beaches. I remember seeing hypodermic needles on the beaches on the times that we were allowed there. Cindy, let me go back to you, and I think that your organization got its start as a result of what happened in the 1980s. What are the lessons learned from that time?
Well, I think that truly is where the lessons were learned, that during the bad years, as we've come to call them, you know, when we had the medical waste, the raw sewage, we were ocean dumping all kinds of materials. In fact, we were known as the ocean dumping capital of the world. We were the nation's laughing stock in terms of, you know, our water quality. And we've clawed our way back from that and worked really hard. The elected officials all united around the Jersey Shore and making our waters clean because we knew how much of an economic impact it had. And so ever since then, the New Jersey elected official community and the entire public has been behind defending the Jersey Shore. Every governor since Tom Kane has been against offshore oil and gas drilling, including Governor Chris Christie, who's not necessarily known for his environmental record. But when it came to the Jersey Shore, he stood firm, and that is because we know how important the waterways are, not just to our psyche, for you know that day at the beach when we splash around on the water, but also to the economy. And there's no question and there's no doubt. I mean, if you look at the legislation that was passed, it was introduced by the 1st District, which is down around which is the Cape May area. But it had unanimous support in the Senate, 100%, both sides of the aisle. And I was there, and the many elected officials stood up on both sides, talking about how important the Jersey Shore is and how we must not allow offshore oil and gas development. And in the Assembly, all but one voted in favor of it. So, you know, that shows the strong protection and the strong support that the Jersey Shore has within the legislature.
Mayor Moore, if the oil industry or even the federal government fights back against New Jersey, what are you and other mayors willing to do? How far are you willing to go to fight the industry?
As far as we have to go, and as far as this new Republican bill, to me it's just a form of blackmail. And it's also, even the people that are sponsoring are saying it's going to be changed, and just reading it quickly, it just makes no sense whatsoever that the Interior Secretary can calculate the fines. I mean, I'd rather have Albert Einstein calculate it because, I mean, the numbers, they can't even get the numbers right on how much oil was leaked in Deepwater Horizon. You know, it's they're off 2 billion gallons here and there. So it's just ridiculous. And again, it's also ridiculous that the Secretary can, like, 2 days after announcing this, go to Florida and say, well, you're running for Senate, so Florida, you're off the hook, but New Jersey, you're still getting screwed. So, like, who decides who's in, who decides who's out? And if it's just going to be pure politics, then there's something wrong with the system. And again, New Jersey and most of the states, where are the its oil spill happens? Because of the Gulf Stream and because of the Labrador ocean currents, it will affect New Jersey beaches. It will wash up on our beaches if it's in Virginia, if it's in Maine, wherever it happens. Especially if it's something like, again, what happened in the Gulf Coast. It took them 87 days to stop that. Now, that's a long time for oil to be leaking. So a superstorm like Sandy is in and out in 3 to 5 days. 87 days of an oil leak is like just so terribly irresponsible that it's something like, you know, the state will go to war over this.
Go to war over this. Those are fighting words, I have to say, coming from you, Mayor Moore.
Well, it's easy for a mayor to say this, what the state will do.
Exactly. But I understand your sentiments there. Cindy, let me go back to you, and let's imagine that there are oil rigs, and let's imagine there is not a spill. How does having oil rigs and all the infrastructure that comes with that, how does that affect marine life?
Well, you know, I have to, you know, say from the outset, there's nothing clean about the oil and gas industry, whether on land or offshore. I mean, it's just, it's a dirty industry from start to finish. And so what you have first is the seismic blasting that is pending in the Atlantic Ocean from five different companies. The current administration is probably on the verge of issuing those permits. What that is blasting the ocean with powerful, extremely loud pulses of noise, 250 decibels every 10 to 15 seconds for hours, days, weeks, months in the Atlantic Ocean. And marine life is very, very susceptible, very vulnerable to loud noises. And so what you're going to be first impacted by is this incredibly harmful impact from this seismic blasting, if it occurs. And the kind of impact it has for everything from scattering marine life, you know, scaring fish away for the fishermen, or separating young from their parents for whales and dolphins, nursing females and young stop feeding, to literally to death. So these pulses are incredibly harmful. That's just to find the oil. Then once, you know, these areas are identified, then, you know, exploration occurs with drilling muds and other kinds of chemicals that get pumped in to drill and poke around looking for oil, all in the wrong place as far as, you know, we are concerned. And, you know, then you have also the industrial land side that will have to be accommodated. So, you know, look out Point Pleasant, look out Cape May Harbor, all these, you know, peaceful places where we have fishing and whale watching and restaurants. Somewhere we're going to have industrial ports that will facilitate the industrial complex that will be built offshore in order to accommodate these things. So there is a lot that we will lose going forward with offshore drilling. And again, these jobs will be pushing out boating, fishing, diving, swimming, all of the different jobs that depend on a clean ocean economy.
Let's take a very short break, and then we're going to get back to our conversation. That's Sandy Zipf, and she's the Executive Director of Clean Ocean Action. John Moore with us as well. He's the mayor of Asbury Park, and he and a number of other mayors and the governor of New Jersey, the legislature, have all basically signed off saying that they do not want drilling off the New Jersey shore. And they passed a tough law banning oil exploration and all the infrastructure that comes with it. And again, we want to hear from you. Radio Times at WHYY.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join our conversation. I'll also be getting an industry perspective in about 10 or 11 minutes. In the meantime, do stay with us. And do contact us. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. We're talking about New Jersey, the New Jersey shoreline, and the fact that the mayors along the shoreline, the governor, the legislature, and just about all the residents and also businesses in New Jersey oppose the drilling offshore, off the shore of New Jersey. And again, we want to hear from you, Radio Times at WHYY.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY. Radio Times. Mayor Moore, you mentioned Hurricane Sandy. It's been a couple of years since Sandy. Are you still feeling the after effects of that?
Asbury Park was very lucky with Sandy. We have no single-family homes within the first two or three blocks of the beachfront. We lost the boardwalk and we lost some restaurants. So we were one of the first towns to get up and running. And just that difference in elevation between us and Belmar, which is like 5 miles away, right, is like 7 feet, which really helped us. So Asbury Park really did not get the brunt of the storm.
Cindy, are we seeing stronger storms, though, off the coast of New Jersey or off the Atlantic coast?
Throughout the world, we're seeing, you know, very different changing patterns in the weather, whether it's fire on the west or in storms and floods and, you know, incredibly odd weather patterns that are all caused by, you know, climate change, which is accelerated by the burning of fossil fuels. And I think it's really, we really need to look at, you know, our love affair with oil, that, you know, we have to rethink where we are going to be getting our energy in the future. And is it in our best interest? Is it patriotic to go after all these ancient, you know, stores of energy at the risk of, you know, the climate change, but also the impact of on the air and water? When we rip this stuff out of the ground, we're causing contamination of drinking water. We're causing air pollution out in the ocean. Mayor Moore talked about the BP oil spill. No matter where you look, oil and the fossil fuels, natural gas, are causing havoc and pain to the entire, you know, world. So, you know, it's in our best interest to move away from the fossil fuels entirely and look for jobs in renewable energy sources. And in particular, look for jobs and money in energy conservation. Every one of us could be saving lots and lots of dollars by moving toward energy efficiency. So I think it's really kind of, we have to rethink our energy model here if we do want to have a livable planet. And that's why we're urging every state along the coast to pass the New Jersey model, to follow Governor Murphy's lead in passing this legislation. And New York and Delaware are already on their way, but we would, you know, we would love every coastal state to stand up against big oil and the threats that it causes.
Cindy, this is more a political question, and the mayor referenced this earlier. The Interior Secretary Zinke essentially gave Florida a pass when it comes to drilling. Does that open an opportunity, I guess, for New Jersey to fight back?
I think it opens up an opportunity for every coastal state to fight back. There's not a, you know, the rationale was, well, Florida has an important fishing industry and tourism industry. Well, you can say that about every coastal state in America. So, you know, if that's the standard, then everybody should be off the list.
Let me talk about plastic and trash and some other threats to the beaches and to the oceans on the New Jersey shore. And Cindy, I'll get to you because I know your organization did some trash pickup, and there were some pretty startling revelations. But to you, Mayor Moore, is that a problem in Asbury Park?
Absolutely. And we've started looking into, and we're working with surf riders and Cindy and other people. Before the end of the year, we will be adopting some type of ordinance dealing with plastic. And we just don't want to be draconian and say no plastic anywhere, so we're going to try to do it the right way. So we're talking with people, we're having meetings with the business community, but plastic on the shore is just ridiculous. We banned smoking on the beach this year. Some people were upset, but the cigarettes on the beach was just disgusting. I mean, that's one of the biggest things they pick up during their beach cleanups.
Wow.
So Asbury Park's been like maybe a couple years behind, but we're starting to step it up. So smoking is definitely banned, and plastic will have something in place by January 1 of 2019.
Things like plastic straws, plastic cups, that kind of stuff?
Correct. And even further, where, you know, some states have gone to, like, well, if you use plastic bags, you got to pay 5 or 10 cents. And it's really reduced the number of plastic bags because people just don't want to pay the number. Mm-hmm. So some cities have bought like 10,000 of the, you know, bags that you can take to the grocery store every day and reuse them. And just, you know, it'd be a good trademark, you know, City of Asbury Park. So we're definitely looking at it, but we don't want to do something, I'm going to say, a little bit, you know, crazy. We want to do it right and make sure that everybody's buying into it. You also don't want to do something like 60 days when somebody's got 6 months worth of inventory, and what are they going to do, eat it? So we're working on it. We're meeting about it, and we had a presentation at the Wednesday night council meeting by Surf Rider explaining how it's been done in other towns and how it's worked and how it hasn't worked. So yes, it's something Asbury Park is on top of.
Well, Cindy, let me go back to you. This was last year. I'm quoting here, 7,416 volunteers organized by Clean Ocean Action picked up 373,686 pieces of debris from 60 sites in 53 towns and parks along the Atlantic Ocean coast, bay shores, inland lakes, rivers, and streams. That is a lot of plastic. What kind of plastic did you find?
every type you can possibly imagine. And since, you know, we've become more and more of a disposable society, we're finding, you know, every new items as well. And so we've been doing this since 1985. And again, that's just in 6 hours, 3 hours in the spring and 3 hours in the fall. And that beach sweep snapshot provides, you know, the evidence that we need in order to get the kinds of leadership that Mayor Moore is talking about in terms of getting local ordinances passed either through fees. And we certainly hope that those fees are going to be directed to help reduce some environmental issue or help protect water quality in different towns, or flat out bans. But, you know, the United States is well behind a lot of other countries that are already leading on these kinds of bans and fees. But, you know, better late than never to the party. And the other thing I just want to point out about this plastic plague is that it's also linked to oil. Plastic comes from oil. So in a way, this plastic tide that we have is an oil spill of a different kind, and one that is very lethal to marine life because it looks ugly on the beach to us,
right,
but it's really harmful to marine life through ingestion or entanglement.
In fact, we did a show recently about plastic and the oceans, but I hate to compare and contrast things, Cindy, but I realize that plastic does come from fossil fuels, but nonetheless, is this the most sort of current threat to the shore of New Jersey, what's happening with plastic and trash?
Well, you know, what's happening on the beaches is just a small fraction of what actually gets out into the ocean, as you mentioned. So, you know, it does impact on, you know, the tourist economy to have a dirty beach. I mean, most beaches and towns spend a lot of money all summer long cleaning the beaches with different types of devices. So, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into trying to keep this stuff off the beach that does wash up, which is, you know, why we do these cleanups after or before the cleaning begins, to try to get that real understanding of what's out there. And as you mentioned, the fabulous volunteers that come out and not only clean the beach but collect the data, we're able to say 84.5% of all the debris we collected was plastic.
Wow.
And that's up from, you know, in the 90s when it was more like 72%. So we are increasing the amount of plastics that we're finding on the beaches. And again, it's not only ugly, it's harmful. And, you know, for example, we also did some evaluations of the data, and straws were up almost 60% from
straws.
The comparative year.
Wow.
In 2017, we collected 50,000 caps and lids. Almost 51,000 caps and lids. And that's all on us. We can't blame anything on Mother Nature or anything other than human, to a society and our tendency to litter and to use plastic.
We are going to end on that note. Cindy Zipp, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you so much, Marty.
You're welcome. She's the Executive Director of Clean Ocean Action. Mayor John Moore, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Marty, could I just clarify one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I know I'm going to get a letter, you're going to get a letter. When I said go to war, I'm not talking about putting on a helmet and getting in the tank. I'm talking about lobbying, writing letters, passing more legislation, and if need be, pursue it through the judicial system.
So, I hear you.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I'm glad you did that. I pretty much knew what you were saying, but I appreciate the clarification. Mayor Moore, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let me read some comments here. An email from Stu, talk of energy independence, safeguards, etc. are lies. Pipelines leak. It's about money for big oil and politicians. We export the oil we get from Canada. An email from Brendan. I spent almost every weekend at the New Jersey shore between June and September spending thousands of dollars. I cannot imagine the devastation that would result from a spill. No way, says Tammy. I don't want drilling off the coast of my state. A tweet from Philip. If your speaker drove a cart to this interview or has climbed on a commercial airline and she's using oil that has come from somewhere, unless she's willing to walk or ride her bicycle, she cannot complain. Well, we like to hear from all sorts of people on Radio Times. And let me introduce our third of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. Thomas Pyle is the president of the Institute for Energy Research and the American Energy Alliance. Thomas Pyle, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You've got mayors in New Jersey, you've got the state government, you've got the governor, you've got residents, you've got many businesses. They are all opposing offshore drilling off the coast of New Jersey. They're saying it's too risky. If there is some kind of a spill, it will be an economic and environmental disaster. Can the oil drilling industry guarantee this will not happen?
Well, you know, there's no guarantees, obviously, but if you look at, you know, over the past several years and decades, the technology for extracting these resources in a safe and effective manner have grown by leaps and bounds. In fact, the United States is the leader in that regard and exports a lot of that technology around the world. So, you know, we have and need these resources, whether some people like it or not. They have to come from somewhere. New Jersey could benefit tremendously economically from offshore oil and gas development. A lot of people don't realize that you can't see this activity off the shore. It's way in the federal outer continental shelf. It's not something that is right in your face, so to speak. And other states are doing it and doing it very well, and they're achieving the benefits through wage increases and employment opportunities, and also have recreation and also enjoy their beaches as well. So it is. There's a lot of emotion around this and a lot of hype, quite honestly, but the fact is, if you look seriously at it, this is the safest place in the world to produce these resources.
Well, let me follow up on a couple of things. And I think when you talk about safety, people think of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. This was an oil spill that lasted 87 days. We saw what that did to parts of the Gulf of Mexico. How can you say it's safe?
Well, I mean, if you look quite candidly, the fact of the matter is that Mother Nature is a much more pervasive polluter. Natural seeps are cause a significant amount of the oil that's spilled. In fact, according to the National Academy of Sciences, 63% of hydrocarbon in U.S. water stems from seeps, while 1% is due to offshore drilling and extraction. That was an incident. There is no denying that it was a challenge. But, you know, if you look, we've calculated that BP spent over $20,000 per barrel of oil spilled versus, the price that they can achieve. So from my perspective, it's a heck of a lot more affordable to produce it and sell it safely than it is to spill it. And I think the industry has a very strong track record in that regard. And again, the technologies for cleanup have improved alongside the technologies for the production. So yeah, it's a risk. I'm not denying that, but it is a very, very minor risk compared to, say, driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, for example. That can cause more harm to a lot of human beings than an oil spill.
Well, let me quote the Interior Secretary Zinke, and this was, you know, after essentially opening up much of the coastal waters for drilling of the United States. He, and this is a quote here: "Most of the companies out there realize that you have to have infrastructure to tie your rigs together. That infrastructure is expensive. Also, offshore oil and gas is a greater risk environmentally than producing offshore wind, as well as onshore oil and gas," and he went on from there. But the Interior Secretary is saying that this is an expensive and risky way to get fuel, to get oil and gas.
Well, it's one of the many, many things the Interior Secretary has said about this issue. Look, the Outer Continental Shelf belongs to the United States, not New Jersey specifically, and these are federal policies. And what the Secretary and what the Interior Department has done under the Trump administration is get the process back to the way it's supposed to work, and that is that we are supposed to look and make these areas available for energy production, whether it's oil and gas, wind, or what have you. And quite candidly, the policies that have been in place in previous administrations have prevented us even from doing the seismic work necessary to even know what our true inventories are of these resources. And so, yes, there is a public participation process, and at the end of that process, there are trade-offs. The infrastructure is a challenge, but once it's built or once there's a commitment to those resources, once it's established, then that those costs come down tremendously. So I think the bottom line here is that oil has to come from somewhere. There are states that have participated in the production of our energy for many, many years. They have benefited from the resource being produced there. The federal government gets revenue for that. It's something that's foreign to New Jersey and scary because a lot of scaremongers out there, you know, are trying to create this, untenable scenario with oil and gas production. Rio de Janeiro,
you know what, Tom? Drilling
for oil.
Well, let me just jump in here, only because we have about a minute before we have to say goodbye to you. For a number of years, we've had an oil glut, and now the United States will essentially become the number one exporter of crude oil and oil products. So it's not really about energy independence anymore, is it?
Well, it's not today, but, you know, we can't predict the future. Look at what's happening in Venezuela, a major oil producer. They're having a meltdown because of their government policies and the corruption.
You're not suggesting that we're going to become Venezuela, are you?
No, what I'm suggesting is that we should always be looking, always know what resources we have. As long as we live in a world where oil, coal, and natural gas are the dominant, and I mean uber dominant, 80-85% of the world gets their energy from those three sources. We have it. We can benefit from it, and the world can benefit from it as well.
We have to end on that note. I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times.
Absolutely.
And that's Thomas Pyle, president of the Institute for Energy Research and the American Energy Alliance, the third of three guests, as we got various opinions about the possibility of offshore drilling off the coast of New Jersey. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll be talking about Atlantic City and whether it can reinvent itself. Stay with us. We'll be right back.